It is, well, let me see now with my eyes, 9:25 on Classical Mornings. I'm your host, Jean Stillwell, on the new Classical FM. Theatre company Riot King is presenting the Tony Award-winning play Red from March 28th to April 6th with 8 performances at the Theatre Centre. Red is a thrilling two-hander starring Lindsay Merrithew and Brendan Kinnan about American abstract painter Mark Rothko and the creation of the Seagram murals. Lindsay joins us this morning to talk about it. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Oh, what a great voice. amazing. I'm well, thank you.
Good.
Now, so let me just start by asking what the Seagram murals are. I understand that it's was a New York Four Seasons restaurant.
Yes, it was a Seagram building.
Okay.
And in the building, there was a restaurant called the Four Seasons, unlike the very popular and prestigious Four Seasons hotel chain, but it was something quite miraculous at the time.
Mm. And what did they approach him and commission him to do these pieces?
Yes, they did. It was Philip Johnson and Mies van der Rohe that were working, making this building together.
Uh-huh.
And it was quite a prestigious commission at the time. And I think that Rothko, firstly independent, passionate individual, struggled with this, but ultimately made the decision to go ahead and do it. And I think ultimately it was a bit of his demise, because he had a real struggle, battle between art and commerce.
Oh, okay. So that was a question I wanted to ask you. What was he really famous at that time that he would be commissioned and asked to do such a thing?
He was, along with Jackson Pollock and others. I mean, he was really at the height of his game. I mean, he was very introspective, was not out in the sort of the art world and the art scene in the same way as maybe some of the others might have been. But he was certainly a man of note and became ultimately probably more famous for refusing to go through with the murals, because he kept those murals and he gave the money back.
Oh, yeah. That's a detail I did not know about.
Yes, and he ended up donating them to the Tate Museum in London, where they reside today.
Oh, they should have put them in the Art Gallery of Ontario.
Yeah, shouldn't they? Yes,
oh,
exactly.
We only have one piece.
I know.
Such a pity.
Yeah.
Have you been to the Rothko Chapel in Houston?
I've not.
Okay.
No, I've not.
But let's talk about some of the main themes in the piece.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, Rothko has a bit of an obsession with art, and I sometimes think it was a bit of a defense mechanism for him. He really struggled with his own mortality, wanting through his art, I believe, to keep some legacy, and he struggled with that immensely, and felt that keeping the art and the art form itself as pure, as an emotionally driven as possible would somehow leave some legacy and some importance in his life. And he struggled with that immensely. Mm. It's something that I think ultimately became his demise.
Mm. And how do you prepare for such an emotionally deep and complex person?
That's a really good question. I think ultimately you just have to jump in. It is a two-hander, and it's 90 minutes.
Yes.
And it is intense, and it's fast-paced. And there's a lot of complex emotions and thoughts. He's also a man at a particular time in his life where he's questioning his own mortality and his own significance and whether it will linger, and of course these young artists, Andy Warhol and Roy Lichtenstein and all these people, with the pop art movement, which is taking over, and he starts to wonder if his relevance will remain, and so he lives in this sense of constant doubt. Even though he's an exceptionally accomplished person, he doubts himself constantly.
It's probably also a part of his beauty as a human being.
I think it's very human to doubt.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think
it anywhere.
I think certainty scares me a lot more than doubt. So I think that, yes, the complexity of this character, I mean, he has this commanding presence, but yet he's exceptionally vulnerable. And he's also at the, sort of the precipice of a certain decline in his life.
Okay.
I think that his relevance is waning, and he fears that tremendously. And, you know, I think that's probably something that most of us would share, our own, you know, how long will relevance be in our life?
Mm-hmm. So, and our mortality.
Yes, because that is something we all share.
Sure. How long are we going to be around for? Now, is the character that Brendan Kinnon is playing,
yes.
did Mark Rothko actually have an assistant like
him?
He
had many assistants, but this was one, and this is the one that he brought on when he was painting the Seagram murals. So I think that Ken, the character's name,
yes.
is sort of representative of all of the assistants that he had. He was a pretty tough character.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think he was hard on his assistants.
And,
he drove them hard, but I think he drove them hard because it mattered to him.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he came from a particular school of thought that you worked hard. Mm. That hard work was important.
Mm-hmm.
And he, of course, viewed this. I think every generation thinks the younger generation is going to screw up and ruin everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all realize that's not quite true. But he's hard on him. He's really, really hard on him. Because I think he's actually hard on him because he sees something in him. And he wants to demonstrate to him the importance of hard work, and that hard work will pay off.
Mm-hmm.
And it matters.
And also, when you have that kind of doubt, you do need someone to run it by, and he probably was the perfect person to do that.
I think he does. You're absolutely right. He mm-hmm. uses him as a bit of a sounding board.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I know the feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. Rothko thinks out loud a lot.
I bet. Do you?
I do from time to time, absolutely.
And how are preparations going for the play?
Well, I mean, you know, we're at it every day and working hard. It is an intense play. One of the things that's somewhat unique to this is that you have a lot of the actual art being created on stage. So there is actually a part of the play where we are priming a canvas, which is fun, and quite exhilarating.
Yes.
And there's also a fair amount of music, classical music, that is being played as
okay.
well.
Okay, okay.
Because he was quite inspired by classical music.
Are you?
Yes, I am. I mean, I have a fairly eclectic taste in music. It's not just classical music, but I enjoy classical music.
I just want to thank you for coming in this morning. I'm sorry that we don't have more time to talk to you. I feel like we're just scratching the surface of this interview.
Well, listen, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you, and I look forward to coming on opening night.
Oh, good.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
So, thank you, Lindsay.
Appreciate it. Okay, cheers.
We've been speaking with Lindsay Merrithew about Red. It's taking place March 28th to April 6th, 7 p.m. and 2 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. The Theatre Centre, BMO Incubator, 1115 Queen Street West in Toronto. You can get tickets at theatrecentre.org/tickets. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you.